Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Can you believe it? The Passover and Easter season are just right around the corner. One of my traditions ever since I was a child was to watch the Ten Commandments movie with a famous actor, Charlton Heston, who is still one of my favorites. Even though I like the movie, it does have some drawbacks, but the most major one for me is that the movie makes Moses out to be like some sort of a hero as a long-awaited promised deliverer of the Israel people. You know, Moses was a mere man. He was God's chosen servant whom God worked through to deliver his people. But Moses was not the promised deliverer. He only pointed to the promised deliverer who was to come. Just this past week, I had an opportunity to teach chapel at Peoria Christian School, which is a Christian local school here in this area. And that day, I shared with the students the overarching storyline of the Bible that all points to the promised deliverer from beginning to end. The promise of the promised deliverer starts in the first book of Moses, called the Book of Genesis, right after God made the first two people on the earth, Adam and Eve, who were husband and wife. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve disobeyed God and were separated from holy God because of their sin. And the Bible tells us in Romans 5:12 that then sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. But before Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden because of their sin, God gave to them a promise. The promise that one day he would send the promised deliverer who would come through the seed of the woman, who would deliver his people and have the crushing victory over sin, Satan, and death. But who would this promised deliverer be? Later, Adam and Eve had two sons, but the one rejected God and God's way and then rose up and killed his younger brother. And just when it looked like God's promise had utterly failed, Adam and Eve had another son named Seth, whom God appointed to carry on that promised seed line of the promised deliverer. And then through Seth's line came Noah. But by this time, the world had become so corrupt and evil that God had to destroy the earth and everything therein with a great flood that covered the whole earth, all except for Noah and his family, including his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But it would be through Shem that the promised seed line would continue until we come to a key chapter of the Bible, Genesis 12, which is the calling of Abraham. Out of all the nations then that were there at the earth at that time and all the people of the earth, God called Abram, later called Abraham, to come into a land that God would show him. And it would be through Abraham's seed that the promised deliverer would come. In Genesis 12:3, God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And through you, Abraham, all the families, the nations of the earth will be blessed. Yet as time went by, Abram, he began to wonder how all this would happen, how it would come to be, because Abram and his wife still had no child of their own. The Bible says that one night God told Abraham to look up into the evening sky and said to him, look at the stars and tell the number of them. And then God said to Abraham, as the stars in the sky, so shall your seed be. The Bible then says these amazing words found in Genesis 15:6, one of my favorite verses, that says that Abraham believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. Right here, Abraham, the future father of faith, was saved, not because of anything that he had done or had not done, but simply because he had placed his faith in God alone and God counted it to him as righteousness. But you know, God wasn't done yet with his promise that he made to Abraham and to his seed. That same evening, God made an eternal covenant with Abraham, promising that all that God had said would come to pass by God alone, by God himself, including an unusual promise that one day God said to Abraham that his descendants would be strangers in a land that was not their own, and they would be afflicted 400 years. And God promised that he would then come and visit his people and judge that nation, and God would deliver his people out of that land with a strong and mighty hand. Wow, what a strange promise. But God didn't just make this promise once. He actually made it twice that would be fulfilled many years later. You know, the rest of the book of Genesis really focuses on God's continual fulfillment of his promise. Abraham, yes, later had a son named Isaac, all according to what God had said, who then had two sons, one named Jacob, who had 12 sons, including one named Joseph, who I'm sure we all know was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. But you know, God had a special plan for Joseph. God used Joseph not only to save his people from a widespread famine in the land, but also to bring Jacob and his 12 sons, their whole family of 70 people, to go down into Egypt, that strange land that was not their own, just as God had told Abraham all those years ago. Jacob knew all about God's promise to Abraham, but still Jacob had fears. What would happen to him and his 12 sons and their whole family if they left Canaan and went down into Egypt? You know, God knew all about Jacob's fears. And that night in a vision, the Lord God said unto Jacob, "Fear not to go down unto Egypt, for I will make of you there a great nation, and I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will surely bring you up again." God was promising not only to Jacob and to his family, but unto all of God's people who believe in the Lord, that God would deliver his people through the promised deliverer according to his time and his purpose, just as he said. Now, maybe some of you, like Jacob, have fears too. This past year has been what I call the COVID crazy year, and even this year, the crazy doesn't seem to be slowing down very much. Sometimes I just wake up and I think the world has hit their head. In this world, I wonder, will it ever get back to normal? But as God's people who have believed and trusted in the Lord, no matter what is going on in our world outside of us or how the world is changing all around us, we have this promise. The Lord knows how to deliver his people, and the Lord Jesus has promised to be with us all the way unto the end. Do you remember one of the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples right before he ascended up into heaven? Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Every day we live brings us that one day closer to the day of our Lord's return. So even if this world gets even more crazy, and probably it will, we have this promise that the Lord has promised to go with us and to be with us all the way to the end, for the Lord knows how to deliver his people. Well, let's fast forward the story and jump to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, that is also part of the book of Moses, because the first five books of the Bible are all called the books of Moses, or it's called the Law. Hundreds of years had now passed, and Jacob's family and his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, had grown from 70 people to over 2 million people over a period of 400 years. At first, when they went down to Egypt, everything was fine, and the children of Israel, they prospered, and all was well. But then the Bible tells us that sometime during that time, a new Pharaoh arose who didn't know Joseph or what he had done in Egypt in saving them from famine. And this new Pharaoh, because the Israelites were growing and were so many, decided to enslave the people, to control the people, and make their lives bitter with bondage and force them to serve with rigor, building Pharaoh's treasure cities. But, you know, Pharaoh's attack and the Egyptians' attack against the Hebrews didn't work. No matter how much their taskmaster burdens increased upon them, the people continued to multiply. And when enslavement didn't work, Pharaoh sought to thin out the herd by a depopulation ploy. When that too failed because of the faithful Hebrew midwives, Pharaoh retorted to an executive decree and ordered that all the Hebrew male baby children be cast into the Nile and drown. How terrible! Where was God when all this was happening? Did God know? Did God see? Would God remember his promise to deliver his people? Did God still have a plan? Yes, God saw, God knew, and yes, God had a plan. God's plan was not only to deliver his people from bondage and to judge that nation for their wickedness, but also to deliver his people from their greatest problem, which is sin. So yes, God does have a plan, but remember, God's greatest problem for his people, both back then and for us today, points us to our greatest promise of the promised deliverer, who will deliver his people from their sin and bring us into a right relationship with holy God. But this is not done by us or by the work of our own hands, but all through what the Lord has provided through his promised deliverer. You know, it amazes me that it was right at this time, during this dark and difficult days, when life looked the most bleak, that God's chosen servant Moses was born. After 3 months, his Hebrew parents, they couldn't conceal him any longer, so his mother made for him like a float boat with watertight, sealed with pitch, and then placed him in the Nile River and hid him among the reeds. Moses' mother put her faith in God's plan and in God's promise of the promise to deliver not only for herself and for her people, but for her child. And amazingly, out of that very Nile River, which should have been a place of death for Moses by Pharaoh's decree, became a place of life for Moses through Pharaoh's daughter. Now, does God have a plan or what? And Moses, the Bible says, he did grow up in the way of the Egyptians, but he also knew down deep inside through the nurturing of his real Hebrew family that he was a Hebrew, he was an Israelite in need of the promised deliverer. And one day the Bible tells us when Moses was older, for some reason he decided to take matters into his own hands by killing an Egyptian taskmaster who was beating a Hebrew slave. And when this thing became known throughout the land and came before Pharaoh's ears, Moses had to get out of Egypt and flee for his life. And so Moses, he ended up in Midian on the backside of a desert where he spent the next 40 years of his life tending sheep, but also wondering, did God have a plan? But you know, Moses wasn't the only one who was probably wondering if God had a plan. The Hebrews back in Egypt, they were also wondering, where was God's plan? Where was his promise? Had God forgotten them? One day, the Pharaoh in Egypt died, but another Pharaoh quickly arose to take his place, and the people could take it no more. The great cry of the people out of their bitterness of bondage came up before the Lord, and God not only heard his people's cry, but also the Lord remembered his promise, his covenant to his people of the promised deliverer. You know, when life for us today becomes dark and even grim, and we begin to question and wonder, where is God? We must remember who God is. You know, one of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11, which is a treasure trove filled with promise where God says to his people, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end." You know, governments may crumble and fall and nations may shake and relationships with others may become tense or even torn. But we have this promise that the Lord has not forgotten us, and the Lord knows how to deliver his people. At just the right time, all according to God's plan, God spoke to Moses that day out of the burning bush and called to Moses to go back to Egypt and stand before Pharaoh and declare, "Let my people go." Now, did he want to go? No. Actually, Moses tried several times to get out of it and even asked God to send somebody else. But Moses did go as God's humble servant because God, the great I am that I am, had sent him. God worked amazing wonders through Moses, his servant, including those 10 plagues upon Egypt. God judged that wicked nation just as he said, including later drowning Pharaoh and his mighty army in the depths of the Red Sea. But at the same time, God kept his promise and delivered his people through faith, not only in that picture promise of the blood of the Lamb covering the top of their door that night, but because they placed their faith and trust in God's promise of the promised deliverer who was to come. And who is that promised deliverer? It is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son. You know, one day at just the right time, and all according to God's plan, God the Father sent his Son into the world. And Jesus was that promised seed, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he could live a perfect life for us on our behalf that we never could. And right before Jesus would go up to Jerusalem, before the coming Passover, the Bible says that Jesus took his closest disciples and went up unto a mountain where he was transfigured before their very eyes. Jesus' face, the Bible says, became as bright as the sun, and his clothes, his raiments, became as white as pure light. But interestingly, Jesus was not alone. Standing alongside him on either side were Moses and Elijah. Now, what were they doing there? And what could they be talking about possibly to Jesus? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us all the details except one. The Bible says they were discussing Jesus' coming exodus, Jesus' literal God-sent mission to go to Jerusalem and to suffer and die for our sins and lay down his life for his people as the very Lamb of God slain, who is himself the promised deliverer. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this is the message of the Bible from cover to cover, which is way better than any movie. For the whole Bible together as one tells the promise of the promised deliverer who is and who was and who is to come. Praise the Lord. This is the message of Easter and what the promise of the promised deliverer is all about. We just want to thank you again for listening, and we hope that you have a blessed Easter as we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the promised deliverer.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.